Have a wonderful week, and God bless.
Once again, it's good to have you here. My name is Tevis. I'm our Discipleship Connections pastor. I know Tom will be returning here in the next couple of weeks, and they're still going to be gone. And we just want to continue to pray for him. And we are getting to wrap up this series on Philippians. And maybe you've just kind of jumped in on it midway. Maybe you've just come near the end of it. And I just want to make sure we're all on the same page about Philippians. And Philippians is a letter that we find in the Bible. And it's written by a guy by the name of Paul. And Paul, he wasn't always named Paul, and he wasn't always a Christ follower. In fact, his name used to be Saul. And he actually went around hunting Christians down to persecute them, to arrest them. Sometimes he watched them die. And he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And this encounter changed his life. In fact, it changed his life so much, his name ended up becoming Paul. He actually started on some mission journeys just to tell people about Jesus. And he wanted people just to know about Jesus' death, his resurrection, and that Jesus transforms our lives. And he comes to a city. It's a city by the name of Philippi. And as he comes to the city, he shares with them about Jesus Christ. And there's some in that city, they choose to put their faith, their trust in Christ. And it's actually in Philippi where the first church in Europe was formed. And Paul, he continues from Philippi on some other missionary journeys to tell people about Jesus. But it was this group of people that was very close to Paul. They cared deeply for Paul. They prayed for him. They encouraged him. They took up offerings and gifts to support Paul in his ministry. And Paul cared deeply for them. And so this book of Philippians is actually a letter. It's a letter that Paul writes to this church in Philippi. And he not only writes it to the church in Philippi, he really writes it for all believers. We've been looking at this summer, at that letter this summer. And we're coming down to the end of this letter. And there's some things that he just wants to make sure. You know, he's like coming down to the end. He wants to make sure that they get some things that are very important for them to understand. As he's been talking about just joy and how to choose joy. And at the very end, it's Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, as we come to the end of this, that we're going to look at today, if you want to look that up. It's two verses. And Paul wants to stress something really important to this early church and to us today. And this is what he says. He says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what's true. Fix your thoughts on what's honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you've learned from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. And then the God of peace will be with you." Back in 1911, there was a guy by the name of Thomas J. Watson. He worked at a company. It was a cash register company. And he was in charge. He managed their ad department. And he came up with a slogan that he just wanted all the employees of that company to embrace. He wanted the employees to embrace this slogan. And the slogan that he had, he wanted to put it around all around where they worked at. In fact, this is a picture years later after 1911 that this still was up. And this is the slogan that was all around the building. It was this slogan that just said, "Think." And it was the idea that he wanted his employees not to just go through the motions, but he wanted them to think about all that took place. Well, Thomas J. Watson, he left that cash register company. He went to another company. He took that same slogan with him there. And wanted that same company to embrace it. And that company eventually became IBM. Same slogan they still use today with their Think Leadership Conference. But if you're familiar with Apple, you know around the beginning of this century, as Steve Jobs was trying to turn Apple around, they wanted to come up with a little bit of a different slogan. And many people think it was just to counter the slogan of Think. And their slogan was, "Think different." And as Paul, as he's writing this letter to this early church, he's wanting this group of Christ followers to understand. He doesn't want them just to think about whatever. He wants them to think differently. To think different. In fact, all this summer, we've been having the title really of our series. We've been calling it Choose Joy. And we're going to change that just for today because I want us to understand the importance of what Paul's trying to say to us. I'm going to just change it to this. Think different. Think different. How you think is so, so very important. It impacts so many things. And so many times, I hear people, they say, I just wanna feel different. I wanna feel happier. I wanna feel joy. I wanna feel different about my work situation. I wanna feel different about my marriage situation. I wanna feel different about life. I just wanna feel different about my past. A friend of mine who was a mentor to me, when he talked about when you counsel individuals, he said, Tevis, whatever you do, help them to understand this one thing. Help them to understand this, that you won't feel differently until you think differently. You got to change the way you think before you change the way you feel. How you think, what you think about, it's so critical. It's so critical. Summer is like my favorite time of the year. Anybody like summer? You're like, oh, yeah, summer, like everything I like to do is like really in summer. And I try to cram so much into just a short amount of time. And so I do things like this summer, I've been thinking about how we just get to spend time with friends. And we go places like we go camping. This year it was Maumee Bay State Park up near Toledo and went over to Shenandoah National Park over in Virginia. And just a great time with my family, a great time with my friends, swimming down the river, just having fun. We also like summer, my kids are out of school, right? And so I get more time with my kids. And it's just like we get to go to movies. We get to do things, just have fun together, go to WITS. Summer is when I like to grill out. I love grilling out. Summer, you know, is when my birthday is. It's also when my son's birthday is. And he turned 16 this summer. And, you know, he's getting to learn how to drive now, all that. Summer is, you know, like this summer, we went to go down to the Smoky Mountains. And my parents, they celebrated their 50th anniversary. And we were there. And it's my brother came up from Florida. And we just had a great few days there together to celebrate that. That was summer. I love fireworks. How many of you like fireworks? Fireworks, you know, they happen in the summer, right? And especially in July, we got to go to a couple of fireworks displays. Summer, you know, there's baseball. My son and I, we love baseball. He got me tickets to a Reds game. We got to go to a Reds game, and he got a baseball out of that. Actually, there's a player who threw up a ball, and I wasn't looking, hit me in the chest, bounced down, and my son got it. But he got that ball, no damage done, okay? We had a lot of fun. You know, summer is when I got to do things like go outdoors and backpack, and got to go to two times. I got to go over to West Virginia, a place called Dolly Sides, and here's some friends, got to connect with old friends and make new friends. Just had a blast. I love summer. But guess what now is? It's August. And you know what happens in August, right? School, back to school. Less time with family, less time with friends, less time outdoors. It means busyness. All the things I like to do, and this happens to me. My family will vouch for this. My wife will vouch for it. About this time of year, if I'm not careful, my countenance changes. My attitude changes. August means fall. And you know what happens after fall? Winter. And all of a sudden, I can become negative. Now, some of you like fall. How many of you like fall? My wife likes fall. She'll say things like, come on. It's like, this means colder temperatures. This means sweatshirt weather. It means campfires. It means football. It means pumpkin spice latte. You know, now, as I start thinking about some of those things, my attitude begins to change. Because what you think about matters. What you think about influences, it impacts how you feel about life. It impacts your relationships with those around you. And if you're not careful, if you focus on the wrong things, or you just don't think about what you think about, you just kind of go through the motions, maybe you just react, it's dangerous. And the way you think can get you into trouble. Maybe you've done it like I have. You say things you regret. You text things, or you Snapchat, or you say things. People do this, don't they? They say things on social media without thinking. And there's this thing, it's called, just like IQ, it's called EQ, emotional intelligence. It's this, your ability to express your emotions and handle interpersonal communications in a healthy way. And do we have to talk about work relationships, family relationships, social media relationships, Perhaps even things that have taken place over the past 24, 48 hours, places like El Paso, places like Dayton, where if people would just think differently, it would change things. If people would just think about the right things, it would change things. How you think is so important. Kerry Newhoff, he's an author, he's a speaker. He has one of the top leadership podcasts. He says this: of all the things that limit your growth, a leader's small mindset is the most deadly. The greatest limiting factors actually exist inside our minds. Michael Hyatt, he's an author, he's a speaker, a leadership mentor, and he has a book. It's called Free to Focus. It's all about just getting your life back, being more productive. And he says the biggest obstacle in our efforts to become more productive may very well be our mindset. Our mindset is something we often overlook, but that oversight, it undermines even our best efforts if we're not careful. Because if you don't address the voices in your head, you'll never get a clear picture of where you are now, which means you'll never be able to navigate where you want to go. How you think impacts how you feel about yourself. It impacts your relationship with others. It even impacts your relationship with God. And if you're not careful, Kerry Newhoff, he talks about this. He says that if you're not careful, the older you get, and the more you continue to think about the same kind of things, it's like your thinking, the wiring inside your brain, it's like it begins to harden and become concrete. And this is the person who, like, they're always bitter. This is the person who is always negative. This is the person who's had so many broken relationships in their life, they won't trust anybody. This is the person who puts everybody down because they grew up in an environment that's just what you did, and that's all they think you should do. It's the person who turns to alcohol or drugs or pornography because they feel that's the only thing that numbs their pain. It's a way of thinking. The person who has, maybe they've seen or experienced so much pain or hurt in their life, they only blame God. It's the person who gives up on life. And if you focus your thoughts, if you focus them on the wrong things, it can lead to bitterness and regret. It can lead to addictions. It can steal your joy, your hope, your relationships. And yes, I've seen it. You probably have too. It can ultimately steal your life. What you think about is so, so important. So what should you think about? I want you to say this with me. We're going to say this a few times today. So I need your participation, okay? If you're watching online, you can do this too. And you say, you just need to participate. Let's say this together, okay? Say it together. Think about what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. This is so important for you to grasp today. What consumes your thoughts? How do you need to think differently? And I think there are things that just consume our thoughts. And so as preparing for this teaching today, I was making a list of things that people, I think, often think about. And I just felt God was saying, talk about these few things this morning. And so I'm going to focus on just a few things. And one of those things that I think consume a lot of people's minds, just say it this way, it's false beliefs about yourself. I remember as a junior hire, my parents, they moved from Kentucky to West Virginia. And so I'm a junior hire. I'm going into eighth grade. New school, left my old friends. I just want to fit in, right? And I know this is going to sound ironic today, but as I entered my eighth grade year, the school in West Virginia, my eighth grade English West Virginia teacher liked to make fun of my Kentucky accent. Yeah, true. And it wasn't just one time in class. It wasn't just two times. It was like almost every class that we had. I'm a middle school student. What student doesn't want to fit in? What middle school student doesn't want people to like them, right? And every class session, he would have me say something, and he would laugh, and the class would laugh. And I just kind of made light of it. I would even laugh out loud like it didn't matter. But the truth is, inside my head, there was something that was saying to me, maybe something's wrong. Maybe you don't speak right. Maybe you're not good enough. This happens, doesn't it? This thinking that gets inside our head and our thoughts, your thoughts, can become false beliefs about who you are, and they can limit you. And some of you, you've been told things that limit you. You've been told false beliefs, and maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a coach, maybe it was a teacher, a boss. You've been told maybe that you're worthless. Maybe you've been told that you don't have what it takes, that you can't do anything right, that you'll never do anything good, that you won't amount to anything. Or maybe you've experienced being abandoned or great loss, and you just feel unloved. And there's this voice inside your head that says that. And if you're not careful, it would consume your thoughts. And you might try to push it aside. You might try to laugh and act like it doesn't matter. But inside, that voice, it begins to think, maybe there's some truth to this. Maybe there's some truth to this. There's something inside that says, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I need to change. Maybe I can never amount to anything. And you can begin to hold on to these false beliefs. They will influence how you feel about yourself. They will influence even how you approach God. And you can believe that, well, maybe God won't even love me. Maybe God can't even use me. Your thinking, it's so, so very, very important. That's why Scripture teaches us. In Ephesians, Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus. He says, even before God made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and this gave him great pleasure. Jesus, he said in John chapter 14, he says, I will not abandon you as orphans. In John chapter 1, it says, to all who believe in Christ and accept him, you're given the right. You're a child of God. And if you're not careful, we hold on to false beliefs that limit what we think about God, that limit who we are, that limit what we can become, that limit, it just limits who God wants us to be. So what should we think about? Paul says you need to own what's true. Say this with me. Think about what's true. Let's say it again. Say it with me. Think about what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Your thinking matters. I think one of the other things that sometimes consumer minds is, we're just going to say it this way, it's pressure. The pressure that we feel under. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now. You feel it. It sometimes comes in the form of worry. It sometimes comes in the form of fear, sometimes anxiety, sometimes just this pressure, overwhelming sense that we don't measure up, overwhelming sense that you have to be the best, to be the best student, to be the best athlete, to make the best grades, that you have to prove to people who you are, that you have to meet certain expectations. There's pressure from peers, pressure from people at work. Maybe as a parent, it's pressure to provide for your kids, to protect your kids, to prepare your kids. It's pressure, this overwhelming sense of pressure that we experience. Stephen Furtick from Elevation Church, he just calls it the pressure to perform. Now, on your notes, this won't show up if you had the hard copy, but if you have an app, there's some books and some teachings that are just great resources for you to link to about what we're talking about today. And Stephen Furtick, he talks about this pressure to perform. And you know, you can just look around you. If you look on social media, there's this temptation just to compare yourself with others. And if you're not careful, you begin to wish your life was like somebody else's life. You begin to feel like your life isn't good enough. And you might even have this pressure to prove to others, maybe even just to yourself, who you are. And in psychology, they call this the imposter syndrome. And Stephen Furtick, he says, many of us have the inability to internalize our strengths and accomplishments. Many people deep down feel like we are a fraud. And we have so much less to offer than what people expect. And even when people compliment us, we feel like the reason they compliment us is because they really don't see us for who we are. We feel if they really saw us for who we are, they would reject us. And so there's this pressure to prove your self-worth, this pressure to meet people's expectations, this pressure. And often we feel like we're an imposter because we're just trying to prove to people what we think we're not. And it's this pressure to prove ourselves. And sometimes we all experience this. It's the pressure we feel to maybe prove that I'm a good dad or that you're a good mom, that you're a good student. It's the pressure to sometimes, if I'm not careful, to feel like I got to speak as fast as Tom or to be a good preacher. It's this pressure that we put ourselves under, that we feel like we compare ourselves. The pressure to perform. And that pressure can turn into fear and worry and anxiety, and it can consume our thinking. That's why Paul has already said in Philippians, he says, don't be anxious, don't worry about anything. Instead, focus on God and pray about everything. That's why Peter said, give all your anxiety, all your worries, all your cares to God, because he cares for you. That's why Jesus says, don't worry, don't even worry about tomorrow, and don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he's going to give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and if you make the kingdom of God your focus. So how do you handle the pressure? Paul's telling you, say it with me. Think about what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Your thinking matters. Now, some of us, what consumes our thinking? It's offenses. It's something that somebody else has done. I mean, it seems like everywhere you look, everybody's offended, right? Just watch the news. Just look on social media. It's like everybody's offended by something somebody said, something somebody did. It's like most people, they lack the EQ, the emotional intelligence to manage their emotions, to say things in healthy ways. And people even, they even believe they have the right to be offended. And there's even videos. You can search them out there. There's videos about how to be offended. Like this one right here with JP.
I've been having life-changing results since I learned how to get offended. Now, when people don't see things the way that I see them, I just get offended. And it teaches them how not to see things from their point of view. I'm offended that you would think you have the right to post that to your Facebook account. People have every right to see things from their perspective, as long as their perspective is the same as my perspective.
Here's a water for you.
I don't drink out of plastic. Why would you not know that?
People who don't get offended are insecure, take no self-responsibility, and have no sense of purpose in life. I pray for them.
JP, I don't even know why you're offended.
I'm offended that you don't know how you offended me.
JP, I wanted to thank you and show my gift of appreciation by giving you my book, because I know you need it, right?
You're just assuming that I know how to read?
Robert Madu, he's a teaching pastor in Texas. And he has a great teaching on this. He talks about how it's like we live in the age of offense. And it feels like everybody's now offended. He talks about how that you can't avoid offenses. That offenses, they're going to come. But it's your choice on whether or not you're going to be offended and how you're going to respond to that. In fact, Robert Madu, he says this, offenses and offended, they're two different things. An offense is what happened. It's an event. Offended is a reaction. Offense is an event. Offended is a decision. Offenses, they're inevitable. Offended, it's optional. And it's your choice on how you're going to respond to that offense. And you choose if you're going to be offended. You choose how you're going to respond. And if you're not careful, that offense that happens to you, it will turn into anger. It will control you. It will consume you. It will lead to regrets. It will lead to bitterness. It will lead to broken relationships. That's why Paul In Ephesians, he says, get rid of this. Get rid of the bitterness, the rage, the anger. Get rid of it. Focus your thoughts on being kind and compassionate to one another and forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And so many times, I've been guilty of this. So many times I've learned that if I would just go to somebody, often when I'm offended, I receive an offense, if I would just go to that person, if you would just go to that person, often you find that maybe that person didn't mean what you thought they meant. Instead, we hold this inside and it consumes us. It consumes our thinking. And that's why Jesus says, when you go to worship, when you go to the temple, when you go to offer a sacrifice, if you realize something, you realize that maybe somebody has something against you, you need to go to them. That means even if you realize that you have something against somebody, you need to go to that person. Try to make it right so you don't hold on to this. That's why Jesus, he went on in Luke chapter 17, he says this, even if somebody wrongs you 7 times a day, which sounds crazy, but he says, if they do that, and each time they turn and they ask you for forgiveness, he says, forgive them. And I'm not saying that what a person did to you was right. I'm not saying that what a person said to you wasn't wrong. But Jesus is saying, you're going to be offended. And it's what you do with that offense that matters. What you do with that offense is your decision. And the best thing you can do is to think differently. It's to be compassionate and to forgive. And you might say, well, you don't understand. You don't understand what was done. You don't understand what was said. And I may not. But of all people, Jesus, the reality was he was rejected. He was hung on a cross, falsely accused, and he died. He died for you. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's this mindset of forgiveness. So how do you handle offenses? Say it with me. Let's say it loud. Say it together. Think about what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. One more thing I want to talk about here that I think consumes our mind today. It's this. Distractions. And distractions, they can be a good thing. Sometimes we need distractions, don't we? Sometimes we need to take a step away from an argument so we can think about it differently. Sometimes we need a break from a project so we can rethink things. Sometimes we need a vacation, a distraction, so that we can be renewed. Sometimes distractions are good, but there are also distractions that aren't so good. That we can become consumed with, that we can put into our mind without any thought of it, things that aren't healthy, things that aren't good for us, that they aren't pure, they aren't honorable, they're not praiseworthy. And we think about those things instead of turning to God. And sometimes we put these things into our mind as a way of escape, and the thing is they may even feel good for a moment, but they're just temporary. They provide temporary relief, and some things, if we're not careful, we just long for more of those, and they become an addiction. We could talk about alcohol. We could talk about pornography. Just understand what you put into your mind matters, and if you're not careful, it can destroy you. It can destroy your relationships, and we haven't even talked about the hours. We can give out stats here if we wanted to, and we're not. We could talk about the stats of how much time people spend watching television. People spend time on screen time with their mobile device and the impact of that. What you put into your mind, it impacts your thinking. Your thinking matters. And culture will tell you it doesn't matter what you put into your mind. Culture will tell you it doesn't matter what you think about. It doesn't matter what you believe. You just do whatever you want to do. And Paul will tell you, we read it earlier, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't conform to that behavior. Because if you want to be transformed by the renewing of your, what's it say? Mind. What you think about matters. Paul calls us, he calls us to think differently. What are you filling your mind with? What consumes your thinking? Came across an article that somebody sent to me. It was by John Ortberg, and he talks about neuroscience and discipleship. And I thought, what in the world does neuroscience have to do with discipleship? And I started reading this. If you're not familiar with neuroscience, just stay with me. It's going to feel like an anatomy class just for a few moments here, but it's going to be okay, and it'll be worth it. Neuroscience helps us to really understand the nervous system in relationship to the brain, in the relationship to behavior, in relationship to the impact of how you think, how the brain develops. Neuroscience has helped us to understand how people struggle. They struggle sometimes with emotional issues, with mental issues. So neuroscience actually has been a really good thing because in churches I grew up with, churches have been guilty of this. Some churches have just said, you know what, you just need to get your spiritual life right and everything else will work itself out. And I've had friends who've struggled with emotional and mental issues and they felt shame, like they couldn't talk to anybody in the church. And we're like, we're physical beings and we are spiritual beings. And there's physical parts of us. And this neuroscience kind of helps us to understand that in relationship to just who we are. And no matter what, though, we still have responsibility for our actions. We still have responsibility for our choices. We still have responsibility for our relationship with God. But what they've found out, and what you need to understand, is that most of our behavior happens because of habits. And over time, our brains literally, they begin to develop habits. It's like tying a shoe. Anybody have trouble like learning how to tie a shoe when you're younger? You know, and so I don't think I had the Velcro stuff, you know. And so I had to kind of learn that. And it took time to kind of get this down. And now I tie my shoe without even thinking. It's like my brain's been wired that I just do that without thinking. It's like driving. My son, he's learning how to drive now. And, you know, we talk about this. It just seems sometimes I'm like, there are so many steps to teach my son about driving, right? It just seems overwhelming. So many things we have to think about. And the reality is the more you drive, the more you practice, your brain becomes wired and you just do this without even thinking. Your brain becomes wired that way. And the challenge that we have is sometimes sin gets into that wiring. Over time, as we get older, over time, as you just keep doing things a certain way, the brain becomes wired sometimes a certain way, and now our behavior can be governed by the habits we've developed. And so that means that you're here today, and you've heard Paul say this, think differently, and you're going to go home. I'm going to think differently. Maybe you come here to church and you say, I'm going to choose Christ. I choose you, Jesus, to be my Savior. I receive forgiveness. And you go home this week. And on Tuesday or Wednesday, it's like this habit emerges in your life. It's a sinful habit. And you pick up the Bible. You pray. You put in a new worship song. And for the moment, you feel some peace. Your focus has been on God. You're like, this works. The next day arrives, and all of a sudden that habit emerges again. You're like, what's going on? And you might turn to God again, but then the next day that habit emerges, and all of a sudden you're like, this doesn't work. I'm going to give up. Our thinking matters. These habits, the way our brain is wired, it matters when you understand this, because confession is important. Accountability is important. Forgiveness is important. Reading scripture, prayer. You know, these are habits that Tom talked about at the beginning of the year. And if you didn't hear those, go back to those sermons at the beginning of the year. Talked about new habits that you can develop in your life. Those habits are important because they help your brain to be rewired. So you think differently. And so that you can overcome the sinful habits with God's help. Now, there was an interesting study that was done. And they took three groups of people, and so I want to need your participation just for a moment here. Three groups of people. The first group, and we're going to let you guys, these two sections, you'll be the first group, okay? The first group of people, they didn't have to do anything. So don't overdo it, okay? They didn't have to do anything. The second group of people, this group right here, just kind of raise your hand up and we're going to exercise your pinky. Can you do that? Just exercise your pinky. The second group, just don't stop, okay? Keep exercising. The second group, they just begin to exercise their pinky. Every day they started doing this. This third group over here, don't stop. I think some of you are stopping. And so over here, this third group over here, I want you to raise your hand. You don't have to exercise your pinky, but I want you to think about exercising your pinky. Give me your best thinking look right now. Think about it. The third group, for 15 minutes a day, they thought about, just thought about exercising their pinky. You know what they found out? Of course, nothing happened with this group, right? This group right here, their brain showed signs of changing. There was strength in their pinky. This third group over here, you know what happened? Their brain showed signs of changing. And there was actually an increase in the strength of their pinky. Don't miss this. It's the things you think about and the habits that you develop that will actually, with God's help, begin to change your mindset. And that's why Paul, he said, think about what's true, what's honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And he didn't stop there. Don't miss this. He went on and he said, keep putting into practice all that you've learned, all that you've received. Then the God of peace will be with you. How you think matters. You've got to put this into practice and don't give up. God will change you. He'll change the way you think. It'll impact how you feel. It'll impact your relationships and those around you, with those around you. And so here's what I want us to do in closing. And the band's going to come and they're going to play softly in the background just for a few moments. And as they're doing that, I want to just ask you right now, if you're here today and maybe you struggle with any of the things I've talked about, maybe it's false beliefs about yourself. Maybe it's the pressure to perform. Maybe it's distractions. Maybe it's offenses. I want you to stand. And I'm going to be the first person. I'm going to come right down where you're at, and I'm going to stand because I admit these are things that I struggle with. If you struggle with any of those things today, would you stand with me right now? Because we're just going to pray together. It's all we're going to do. If you struggle with false beliefs about yourself, the pressure to perform, distractions, maybe offenses that consume your thinking, would you just stand with me? I just want to pray together today. And so as you bow your heads and close your eyes right now, I just want to help you out. I just want you to know that the transformation in your life, it begins with Jesus Christ. And maybe today you need to choose Jesus to be your Savior. And so if you haven't done that, or maybe you need to renew that relationship right now, would you just right there with God quietly say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need a Savior. Jesus, I choose you. Jesus, I need forgiveness. Jesus, I want a new start. I believe in you. I want a new beginning. For some of you here today, you know, what consumes your mind is things that you've been told about yourself. It's false beliefs that are limiting you. They're limiting your relationship with God. They're limiting who you can become and who you are through Christ. And so right now, God, those that have false beliefs, God, we reject those beliefs in the name of Jesus. We reject those. And we own what's true. We think about right now what's true, that we are loved, that you gave everything up for us, and it brought you great pleasure. For those of you today that are under just an incredible amount of pressure from expectations, pressure from others, pressure to prove yourself, God, help us right now. And if that's you, would you just cast the worry, the fear, the anxiety, whatever it is, would you just give that to Jesus right now? Jesus, we give that to you. We give that to you. We cast our anxiety and our cares and our worries to you. Maybe it's an offense that has consumed your mind, and maybe today Jesus is going to ask you to go to somebody that you need to go to make things right, to talk about things. Maybe that'll go well, maybe that won't go so well, but you still can rely on Jesus and you still have the choice to how you handle that offense. And Jesus might just call you, would you just forgive and let go? And so Jesus, help us to do that. Help us to forgive. Help us to let go. And finally, today, maybe if it's a distraction that you know there's a distraction in your life that you need to purposely, intentionally avoid because it's filling your mind with the wrong kinds of things. Would you right now make a commitment? Jesus, I know I need to do some things differently. I know I maybe need an accountability partner in my life. I know I need somebody to pray with me. I know I need to develop some new habits. I need a mentor. I want somebody to come alongside me. And so, God, I pray right now for those who need help with distractions. Help them to develop some new habits, to spend time with you every day, to begin to think differently, to think about things that Paul has called us to think about, that you call us to think about, God. You change our lives. So it impacts how we feel and so it impacts our world. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Would you have a seat? We're going to end today by just focusing on Jesus and what he's done for us. We're going to take communion together. And so if you're a believer in Christ, then we just encourage you. The host team's going to come and they're going to pass a tray. And in that tray are some cups. There's two cups together. I just always like to remind people of that because the one cup has the juice. The other cup has some bread underneath that. If you need gluten-free, that's available right in the back. Feel free to make your way back there and get that. But just go ahead and take that cup if you want to take communion today. And we'll give you some instructions in a few moments.
Skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take him at his word and deed. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of him to be my Savior, that he would leave his place on high and come for sinful men to die. I counted strange, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God, he's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My solace from the spring, that he who lives to be my king once died to be my Savior, that he would leave his place on high and come for sinful men to so once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God, he's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me.
As we prepare for just communion, I think about what Paul said in Ephesians. He says, God is so rich in his mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Jesus from the dead. And it's only by God's grace that you've been saved. That's why we take communion. It helps us to focus on the transformation that Jesus provides, the life transformation, because he died for you and died for me. When we think about the night that it was the night before Jesus died and he met with his disciples. We read about this in Luke chapter 21. And as he met with those disciples, he took some bread, and you'll have that in that one cup. Just take that out. And he took the bread there when he was with his disciples, and he broke that bread. And he said, this is my body. This represents my body that's broken for you. And so when you take and eat this, remember Jesus' body was broken for you. Take and eat. And that same night, he also, there was a cup there. And he took that cup, and at that time he had wine in it. This cup just has juice. But he took that cup, and he says, this represents a new covenant. A new way of being. A new way of doing things. And as he took that cup, and it had that wine, he said, it represents my blood that's shed for you. And so we take and we drink, and remember that Jesus' blood was shed for us. And so, Jesus, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you give us new starts, new beginnings, that you transform us. We thank you that you help us to think differently. Help us to think differently, God. Help us to develop maybe new habits in our lives so that we focus on you, so that we experience lasting joy, lasting peace, so that we can make a difference in our world. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.
My Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior lives, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior loves, my Savior lives.
Why don't you stand with me as we get ready to leave today? I want to encourage you, if you're here today and maybe or you're watching online, if you made a choice to receive Jesus as your Savior today, let us know that. Let us know that it's so important. We want to provide you encouragement. It's so important you have somebody walk along with you to provide that support, maybe even help you to develop some new habits. And so if you're watching online, just email us. If you're here, maybe you stop by the prayer room in the back. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe there's some things we talked about you just want some people just to pray with you a little longer with today. And so stop by there. We'd love to do that. If you're new with us, check out our Next Steps area in the back. I'm going to be there. We'd love to meet you. It's a great way just to kind of find out ways to get involved here at Spring Hills. But we have what we call our Spring Hills Connection class today, and it's right after this service. It's in our fireside room, and you can stop by there. It's a great way to learn about who we are, our beliefs, our values, a great way to meet people, to learn about groups and ways to get involved and partner with us. And so please check that out. I do want to mention, if you're brand new, we even have a gift for you today, and so we're glad to give that to you on your way out. Just stop by that Next Steps area. Let me pray for you as you leave today. God, again, go with us and help us to just keep focusing on you, to keep thinking about you, to think about the things that Paul has challenged us to think about today. Help us to be a light in our world. Help us to be a light to those who maybe who have experienced loss or hurt, God. And I don't want to overlook just the people that have experienced loss and that are hurting in El Paso and in Dayton. And God, we pray for those situations. We pray for those that are involved in that. God, the grieving process. We pray for those things. And God, I pray for each one of us here again. Help us to live for you. Help us to be changed by you and to think differently, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here.